Hey, Wes, what's up, brother?
Hey, just racking and stacking like we usually do, Randy.
I'll tell you what, we're on fire, aren't we?
We're definitely doing something.
We're dying off for fire or a brush fire, but we're doing it. So it's just been, we're living the hybrid life, if I could talk.
Man, I know you've been out there just kissing babies, shaking hands, and make sure you always do it in that order because you get in trouble otherwise. But, it's been crazy, but that's what we do, right?
It is what we do. And, you know, it's exciting. And we was talking off camera here with our guest today, Rex, man, busy times coming up, buddy. You're going to get tired of seeing me from the road because, you know, I love to do vignettes from trade shows. And I think I've got, for one coming up in a couple, 3 weeks, I think I've got like 12 people scheduled, or not really scheduled, but, you know, like, hey, would you do this if I wander by your booth? And they say, sure, we'll do it. So it's what we do, man. It's what we do.
Well, you know, I did my 161st episode of, one of the podcasts I do for a client. And off camera, when we were talking to Rex, Rex said that, he's been doing his blog for, forever. And he never misses it because he's always got them in the can, like what we're doing, racking and stacking. And I think that, when we were talking about the people that don't do what you do at the conventions and, you know, the different things that you go to, they're just missing out, Randy, because, this is the new way of doing things. You know, you're busy, I'm busy, our guest is busy, and that's just what we do. And that's why we're out there, and people know us and like us and hopefully love us.
Yep, that's it. Well, they especially love you more so with your goatee back. So I would
just say, coming. It's coming.
I know. You know, I'll get old. I'll get tired of the goatee jokes. Probably maybe after today.
That's okay. I'm sure those and the fact that I steal your quesadilla will keep coming.
Yeah, they'll keep coming. It's all good.
For now,
hey, buddy.
Rex.
Let's get to Rex. That'll be way more interesting than you and I. Let's do it.
All right.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Hey, Rex, how you doing, my friend?
I'm fantastic, and I want to thank you and Wes for having me on your show. You're both so very, very good at what you do, both on and off camera. That is an honor, a treat, a privilege, and a true blessing to be here. So thank you.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. Would you write that down for my wife so she would believe that? Could I have a note? I was so thrilled in high school when I was in school and before when I take a note home from the teacher that said, Randy was really good today, because you got to understand, okay, I got one. That's all. I got one. And I think I had to pay the teacher off with lunch or something to get that. But appreciate it. Kind words. And I know you're busy with a lot of stuff we're going to talk about. So we are equally blessed and thrilled that you took the time to come on today. So.
Well, again, thank you for having me, and it's great.
Absolutely. Look at this. Do you have it behind you? One of the things we're going to talk about is this amazing book. But before we get to that, let's go here. Who the hell is Rex Sykes? That's a good way to start. Who is Rex?
He's nobody. He's been around forever, and he's lucky to be on the planet.
Well, we're lucky to have you, but I know you're an author. You're an actor. And I wrote down a few things: leader, teacher, trainer, just outstandingly great guy. I think you wrote me that one, but anyway, that's fine.
I was going to say, could you send me a note on that?
Yeah, well, you sent that to me, so I read it exactly the way you wrote it. So, but let's get started, because I think people really enjoy hearing a little bit about how you got started down this road to where you are today. And I know you've been in a lot of films, movies, as well as the small screen, the big screen and the small screen, I guess. Maybe tell us about that and how that led you into the world of authorship and all the other things you've been doing. I did watch, by the way, some of your clips again the other day on YouTube, and some good stuff.
Oh, very cool. Well, thank you. And thank you for watching. Yeah. Well, I write about it in my book, a little bit about who I am and how I got started. And so I won't reinvent the wheel too much. But suffice to say that I've always been interested in two things, acting and mysticism, you know, and being the best that you could be, whether that's spiritual or mental or financial or emotional, mm-hmm. whatever it is, you know, is how do you excel and how do you get better? And in my 20s, I had a crisis of many. I've had many crises in my life. I mean, people think that the older you get, you know, everything should get calmer, but it doesn't. You know, if the more successful you are, the busier you get, the more obligations, the more responsibilities, the more there is for problems. So never about not having problems. It's whether or not you consider them problems, number one, or opportunities, and two, how you navigate through, you know, all that life brings you. You know, I get up every day and it's either rainy or snowy or sunny or, you know, or there's something going on. I don't pretend to be in charge of that, although I may be, you know, but I certainly can choose how I respond to it as opposed to react to it. And two things guided my life. When I was a kid, I was playing outside and there was a police officer who lived across the street from us. And it was a Saturday and I'm on my skateboard or on my bike and doing whatever I'm doing. And I look at this guy, he's down on his knees with, you know, a pair of trimmers, grass clippers, trimming around this rock, you know, that we had deposited on the corner of his driveway. And I went, I will never do that. With this guy, I mean, why would you ever want to be like doing yard work? Why do you want to do that? I don't want to ever do that. I want to play. So my goal in life has always been to play at whatever I do. That doesn't mean to not be dedicated to it or committed to it. It just means don't be overly serious about it. Don't overthink it. And don't let it depress you or get you down. So I wanted to play. And the other thing that defined my life, I've forgotten. So it just, you know, whatever. I kid, but I mean, the point is, you know, when I was in my 20s, I had this crisis and I went through it. I actually had a doctor misprescribe a fatal combination of pills, took my memory, took my livelihood, took my relationships with friends and my fiance, with girlfriend at the time, you know, and just lost all of it, lost my money, lost everything. And I didn't realize at the time that it was being caused by medication. I just thought I was losing my brain. I just had no idea.
Wow.
And as an actor, I'm in Hollywood and I'm going around and I'm driving. Apparently, and I was thinking about this actually not that long ago, I've never been able to give you how I survived any of it. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. But apparently while I was on the drugs and doing what I was doing, I was crazy and weird, but what it led to was an amnesia for all of that. So apparently, and it was short-term memory loss and different things at the time, but apparently I could drive and go somewhere and like say, I'm going to go to this place and get there. I wasn't so gone that I couldn't get to a place. Whether I should have is another story, right. But the point is I could do it, but then I would have no memory of having been there.
Wow.
You know, things like that. Or one of the examples I talk about was, you know, my acting coach would say, we knew something was going on with you because you would, you know, I left my wallet at the workshop and I called and said, hey, I don't have my wallet. Did I leave it there? And she said, yeah, we gave it to so-and-so. And I said, okay, thanks. And then I'd call back a minute later and say, hey, you know, I don't have my wallet. Could I have left it there? And they go, yeah, we just told you. We gave it. Then I'd call back and say, you know, I've, you know, and this would go on. So they knew something was going on, but I didn't know I was doing it. So when, fortunately, my sister realized something was going on and my parents were traveling, said, you got to get out here. There's something going on with Rex. And they came out and found me nearly comatose, nearly dead. And with pill bottles and alcohol bottles and journals with scribbles and all sorts of stuff. None of it made any sense. And essentially took the distributor cap off my car, locked me in my apartment while they tried to decide, should I be in a psychiatric hospital or whatever, and removed all medications. And so I went cold turkey on the drugs. And went through the withdrawal in this apartment. And I just, when, you know, and coming to the realization of what on earth happened to me? What did I just do? And again, even though now, you know, I was being told that it was the medication that was responsible, that I had been on pills and stuff, it that didn't matter to me. I felt horribly responsible for everything. I just felt like a total screw up and that nothing was working and that I didn't deserve to live. And I was just, you know, and so then I ultimately jumped out of a window to try and kill myself. And that didn't work. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I can't even kill myself. Right? And wow. And so I sought out therapy. Everybody wanted to put me on medications and I refused. I'm like, you don't get this right. I just got off of, you know, stuff that, I mean, by the time all this had ended, you know, I was a walking, you know, medicine chest. People were giving me all sorts of pills to calm me down and stuff to wake me up and stuff to do this. And I was drinking on top. So now when I'm starting to get clear and realizing what I'd been through and for the duration that I'd been through it, I just felt such guilt and shame and everything. And I refused to be medicated and I would go to therapy and that just made me feel worse and guilty. And they didn't really have any tools other than to say, why do you feel that way? And I go, what do you mean? Why do I feel that way? I feel horrible. And I feel horrible because of this, 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 and this. So I decided to lock myself in my apartment at some point because I didn't really have any friends. My girlfriend wouldn't have anything to do with me. My career was in shambles. So I'm like, I gotta get my head together and I don't know what to do. And therapy's not working. And I'd always, as a kid, had been reading, you know, inspirational book. I knew about hypnosis and since I was a child and affirmations and meditation and stuff, but I hadn't been practicing any of it. So I said, I'm going to start doing this. And so I locked myself in this apartment for over 6 weeks and I started to visualize and relax in a chair and try and direct my mind and try and, you know, the first part of being in that room, by the way, I did get a lot to use the bathroom. I mean, I got up, you know, and I did eat, you know, but
right.
I actually stayed in my apartment. I didn't go anywhere. Although I did once in a while walk down the street and pick up food from the grocery store down the block. But other than that, I was in this apartment in this chair day and night, just going, why, what? And what I realized about 3 weeks into it was I kept asking all these wrong questions. I said, why did this happen to me? Why am I such a screw up? How come nothing ever works out? You know, what else could go wrong? You know, and, you know, that kind of thing. And why don't my friends like me? And I realized I don't want to know the answer to any of that stuff. Stuff doesn't matter. That was the past. The things happened and it was happened. It's kind of like, you know, there's an earthquake. You go, why was there an earthquake? Are you going to get an answer? I mean, you know, right. So I had enough presence of mind to go, I'm just asking myself the wrong questions. What I really want to know is what do I have to do to feel better? How can I feel better? Are there ways that I'm not exploring that would might make me feel better that I've yet to discover? How can I go out in the world and be confident and feel confident and claim my life back and demonstrate to my friends that I'm not crazy and that I'm a person worth knowing? And as I started to change the kinds of focus that I had and the things that I was asking myself, I started to change. It didn't happen like that, but within a week or so, I started to realize I'm starting to feel a little bit better, a little bit more hopeful, a little bit more optimistic. To compress all that, I now have, since that time back in the early 80s, have been teaching what's been called directed questions. And many people have piggybacked on the work. No one's really gotten to the heart of the work in their piggybacking, but the idea of asking questions to direct your mind has become somewhat popular and a number of people have written books off of what I did. But here's the thing. It's discovering that you have a choice of where to put your attention and where to put your focus. And it's, you know, kind of saying is what you focus on is what you get and your energy flows where your attention goes. And so it's like a magnifying glass on a piece of paper on the sidewalk. You know, you use it to hone the sun rays. Otherwise, they're all over. But if you use the magnifying glass to hone in on that piece of paper, you can set it on fire because it's focused. And so I discovered that, you know, questions can help you focus and they don't set up a form of resistance, especially if you don't know the answer to it. If you know the answer, if I said, where'd you get your shirt? You might know where you got it. Or you say, I don't remember. Or you say it was a gift or whatever. But if I say, you know, how much fun are you going to have in the next 3 weeks? You can say lots, but you don't know what the answer is. So you can say none and you still don't know what the answer is. So if you entertain a question like, you know, how much fun could I have or how good can I feel or in how many different ways can I feel wonderful? You're asking your own brain to look for things along what you're questioning. And the reason why, you know, we know this works is the tip of the tongue phenomenon. It's like, you know the answer to something like, oh, I have a friend, but I can't think of their name right now. It'll come to me and you relax and you let go. And then a little while later, the name pops in. It's because the brain keeps working on it after you've given up. And the brain works on association. So if you go, it's a friend, it doesn't come back and say, I like pizza.
Right.
You know, it knows what to go for. So if you say, how wonderful can I feel in ways that I haven't even begun to imagine? You start looking, your brain starts looking. There's a technical term called transderivational search, and it's your brain is searching for what it is that you want. So a lot of people ask questions like, you know, what if I did this? Great question to ask her. And how, you know, why am I so smart? That's not a bad question to ask either. But you really want to ask questions somewhat differently. It's about the direction, not about an answer. It's about behavioral change, emotional change, spiritual change, mental change, not about getting an informational answer back. So I started to work teaching this to people because I'd gotten such incredible results from it. I wanted to teach it. And one of the first, when I said I had two defining moments, one of the first things that dawned on me when I had gotten out of the room and I started venturing out in life and claiming my life back was I realized I was lucky. You know, whether it's true or not, I was here. I tried to kill myself. I did everything I could to possibly end my, you know, life inadvertently or intentionally, and I was still here. So I assumed there must be a reason. I don't know that there's a God or there's a infinite intelligence that's assigning that. I'm just saying I decided, well, I'm here. So how do I make use of it? And then I got to thinking about the Garden of Eden story, that God had created, you know, humans, put them in this garden and said, hey, all this good stuff is yours. And there's only one thing that you must know. There's a tree of life and there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. You get to, you know, choose, and we hope you choose wisely, right?
Right.
And sadly, in the story, they chose the knowledge over life. And that spoke a lot to me. I was like, it's not about what you know. It's about how much you live. Right. And what an incredible life you have versus what you can acquire and all the other kinds of things, or how important you are, or what you think about yourself. It's how much fun can you have and how much life can you have. So I went, if I'm here on this planet, maybe one time, forget about reincarnation, all the other stuff, but let's just say one time, mm-hmm. then how do I make my life the most joyous, wonderful Garden of Eden-like experience? And I decided that I was the owner of the planet. Now, I have lots of co-owners. I own it with right. you. I don't run into your backyard and that kind of stuff, but we co-own the planet. So I'm responsible for the planet. I'm responsible for the people in it. And I'm responsible for my experience of it. So it's about how do I create the most incredible life ever? So that's why the book title is Life on Your Terms, Create the Life You Want. And if it doesn't include a lot of fun and play and delight and love and compassion and generosity and goodness and gives, then what is it? You know, if all our life is to pursue jets and yachts and boats and money and cash and fame and power and glory, which will all fade when we die, then what is life truly about? And for me, life is about having those experiences with people, you know, that fill you so full of joy that right. you're glad that you're here and you're around. Then you can enjoy the other things too. So lastly, I'll end with this. I have plenty of I've consulted and have clients that are billionaires and millionaires, and many of them call me in and go, look at everything I have. Isn't that incredible? And I go, yeah. And they go, but I'm lonely. I'm miserable. I suck. There's me at the end of the day, and here's my stuff. So they don't enjoy the things they have because they haven't worked on themselves. And when I say work, I mean play, but they haven't, you know, transformed themselves. They've acquired stuff and they found out it didn't fulfill them. So it isn't the pursuit of things, but the quality of your life that's truly important.
You know, sitting there listening, a million things went through my head because that was as good a 5 minutes or 8 minutes of stuff that I've heard in a long time. Okay. And I appreciate it because, you know, Wes and I chat a lot about, you know, a little statement that I like to make, which I believe is, you know, live it, love it, own it, right? Love what you do, do what you love. And that's two statements that I make all the time. And I just recognize how brilliant that was, but you know, but it's true. It's nothing. The destination is just a place that we may or may not ever get to anyway. Right. So it's the journey along the way because, and what I'm hearing you say is so, it is brilliant, Rex. I mean that we set this, how many people do we know that I want to be at this spot, and then everything's geared to that spot. And I'm all about goals. I set goals all the time, but you got to enjoy every step of the way to that goal. Because what if that goal is 12 years from now and you die 6 years from now, well, you've never reached the goal. So you're going to live miserable just to get to that destination, right? And I think that really struck what you said.
Well, and it takes a wise person to understand that. And, you know, I look back, as many people do, when I was a child in a car going on a trip with my parents going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I hated the journey. And in my early life as an actor and a speaker, I hated traveling. I didn't want to be in an airport. I didn't want to be in a cab. I didn't want to be in a hotel. I didn't want to be anywhere. I liked being there, but I didn't want to get there. And so what you just said is a great deal of how I approach life. And that is, if you're journeying to a destination, it's the journey that matters, for the very reason that you just cited. You might not get to the destination.
Right.
And by the way, there's nothing wrong with things. It's who you are can have all the things in the world. Because if you're working, if your life is together and you feel good and you feel wonderful and you can appreciate things, whether they're there or not, you know, this is what I said earlier. I have all sorts of what people would call challenges. I tend not to use those words, or problems. I tend to say opportunities, because there's always an opportunity to look at it differently, to navigate it, to discover something, to learn. To, you know, people say you're either learning or you're winning, or winning or you're learning. And I disagree. If you're learning, you're winning. And so it's not an exclusive either or. It's life unfolds. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to include all of it. So if I've had things and lost things, I've had money, I've lost money, I've had other crises and other things happen, bad things happen, good things happen. You know, it's all part of that journey. So the question becomes is, what do you do with all those? And then I've had, you know, stuff that I no longer have. And one of the things about the internet taught me more than anything, once everything went to digital, which I was very opposed to, because I like to buy a CD, you know, and have it, stick it in my computer or whatever. Once it went to streaming, I'm like, well, that, beware, because one day I'll flip a switch and all your streaming stuff will be gone. You know, they, if somebody else owns it in their library and you're renting their space in their library, if they're not there, you know. So I always had this kind of tangible thing about, you know, having a CD or having a videotape or an audio, because then I owned it. I could take it where I wanted. Mm-hmm. Well, when computers started, and, you know, we were putting pictures of family and business stuff on computers, I can't tell you how many hard drives I've had go south and lost everything. Decades of business, decades of family photos, decades of memories, decades. I've had the same thing happen in floods, where equipment and boxes and papers and everything have been lost, and, you know, in a flood in the office or in the house. You just have to understand. Well, where I'm at right now is, if you give me a backpack and let me travel the world, I think I'm good. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't need all the other stuff anymore.
Yeah. Well, it, you know, I love the theme that you talk about a lot is it is all mindset, right? And I like that. And I was looking at your book here again, and the very first one or first couple of things, amazing results. You talk about develop a champion mindset, activate a winner's attitude, and live victoriously. Those, I mean, we could go on. There's like 10 of them on there or something, but those three really struck me. There's probably a reason they're the top three on there, or maybe just do a dart. But, you know, I like that idea of living. I want to read it correctly. Developing the champion mindset. There's nothing wrong, because the name of our podcast we're on here today is Building Wins, right? There's nothing wrong with building wins. And I talk about it, this is even better than I thought it was going to be, because at least for me personally, because I have to explain to people sometimes the name of the show is Building Wins, and they think, oh, all you care about is sales and growing your business. And yeah, that's part of it. Yes, I do care about that. And I enjoy that, because I sell a little differently than most people. I don't sell anything. I just really do. It's kind of a Zig Ziglarism, right? But I really do try to help you get what you want or need. And along the way, I'll do okay too, right? But forget that part. I just truly enjoy every day getting up and do what I do. But building wins is not just that. It's building wins, like you said, spiritually. It's building wins, health and fitness, relationships, family, friends, and all those things. And here's a thought I have, and please feel free to correct me. You throw wind on a virtual wind pile, right? And all winds just compound with each other, right? Whatever it is, winds don't know the difference between each other. In my mind, a win is a win is a win. Small win, medium win, big win, a spiritual win followed by health and fitness. As long as you just keep throwing some wins on that wind pile, your life just keeps getting better, right?
Well, I'm very happy to say that winners win. That's what they do, and losers lose. So if you set up so that you're winning, if you make the rules in your own game of life and you set the conditions so that you're always winning, that doesn't mean other people are losing. It's not zero sum.
Right.
If you win and they win, it's far superior to anything. But if you're winning all along the way, it's good. You know,
I mean, you win.
So, you know, some people get up and go, I'm going to clean the garage. And then they stop after, you know, a half an hour and go, oh, God, this is too much. Now they've lost. You know, they said something. They didn't keep their promise. They now get to feel bad. If, on the other hand, they said, you know what, I'm going to go organize this corner or this shelf, and they do it, then they've won, because then they go, wow, that was easy. Then they feel more like doing the next shelf. So you have to set your life up in that way. And building wins. Here's the interesting thing. You cannot behave in a reality until you can conceive of that reality. You can't imagine it. What are you imagining?
Right.
You know, I mean, if somebody didn't say, wow, we need to find a way to stay warm in the winter or cool in the summer and developed air conditioning or heating, whether it was through a fire or electronic means or gas or whatever, we wouldn't be doing it. If somebody didn't say you could fly like the birds and conceive of it, we never would.
Right.
You know, it always begins with a thought. It begins with an idea, but it begins with a thought. So if you're not managing your thinking so that it's the best possible thinking for you, then what do you have instead? Do you want crappy thoughts and a crappy head? Do you want to root around in the garbage can, or do you want to have, you know, the really cool stuff? There's horrible, you know, this is all due to our conditioning. There's horrible, horrible, horrible information coming out from self-help teachers saying, work hard, sacrifice, struggle, you know, give it your best try, and then try and try and try and try again. There's nothing wrong with that on the surface. But the point is this. Napoleon Hill, when he wrote Think and Grow Rich, said it isn't work harder and grow rich, it's think and grow rich. If your thinking is right, that's what motivates you to feel right, that motivates you to speak right, that motivates you to behave right, so that you take the right actions to get the results that you want. If you're just trying to get the results based on behaviors and actions, you can struggle and work forever.
Right.
You know, if you're drowning in the water, the more you flail around and the more you try not to drown, the more you're apt to drown. The way that people survive is to get prone on the water, where the water displacement can lift them so that they can float, so they have to relax.
Right.
Struggling like this is sure to sink you. You can be stuck in the mud or in the snow in your car. You can put a pedal to the metal and go absolutely nowhere.
Right.
So doing more doesn't necessarily mean succeeding or winning. Thinking, building a plan, knowing what you want, and being able to stick with it, because in your head you go, I got this. I can do this. I know how to, you know, and how you navigate through it is truly important. People think persistence is persistence in action. It's truly not. It's persistence in attitude that says, no matter what, I'm going to keep going legally and safely. You know, I'm going to keep going and I'm going to make it happen and not let the wind get taken out of your mental sail. Because if it's the first thing to go, if you're running like a marathon or something, what's the first thing that starts going on you?
You win, right?
Well, in your body, you start feeling something, your head goes, oh,
yep.
I can't do this. I'm going to have a heart attack. You start, the thinking gets, and then you kind of go, okay, stop. Well, there are those people who have proved time and time and time again that if you don't pay attention to that, do pay attention to it. So your health is important. I mean, I'm not saying ignore, you know, physical symptoms, but what I'm saying is Muhammad Ali said, I don't feel like training most of the time, but I know if I want to be the champion boxer that I can be, the world champion, then I have to go train anyway. So he didn't let his thinking or how he felt about training prevent him from training. He trained anyway, in spite of the thoughts. So he had to manage his mindset, manage his emotions, manage his behaviors, so he got the results. And Henry Ford said a quote that I truly love, and we're all familiar with, if you think you can, you're right. And if you think you can't, you're right. But he said, I never let what I cannot do prevent me from doing what I can.
Love that.
And so, but what happens is people start thinking negatively. So you'll hear people say, it's not about positive thinking. It's not about affirmations. It's about building a compelling future and then going after it. Well, you built the compelling future here.
Right.
So it is about thinking, and the thinking and the affirmations and those kinds of things are those practices that you put into you put your attention on or your energy into to develop that mindset so that it, when push comes to shove and when trials and tribulations happen, you can get through it because you've developed it. You traveled in advance of the world. You've got a plan for succeeding. You say, I'm going to make my mindset powerful so that whatever comes my way, I'm going to get through it. And you do. And that's what developing a champion, you know, a champion chess player doesn't go, find me the wimpiest, worst chess opponent in the world so I can kick their butt.
Right.
They go, bring me, you know, it's like Game of Thrones, bring me your champion swords person so that we can do, you know, mortal combat and I'll show you who's boss. Developing a champion mindset means rising to the occasion and doing what's ever necessary to make that happen. So lastly, if you want to grow corn, you have to condition the soil, plant the corn, and then nurture it so that you got corn or celery or weeds or whatever you mm-hmm. want to do. Right? Same thing mentally. You have to condition the soil, plant the seeds, and then nurture those so that you develop that. It's really brain training.
It is. And, you know, the thought that we just said that is if you're not coming from a positive place in your mind, all the work that you're putting in is still not going to get you positive results, right? Well, it may give you some results. You may move the ladder a little bit or move the scale a little bit. But I think what you're saying is, or what I'm hearing is, without that mindset of positivity, I can do this. I am going to do this. I've already done it in my mind. It's just a matter of getting there. If you got this negative mindset, you'll never get there, right?
So here's what I do. You know, I mean, people call me a trainer and a speaker and an author and this. Here's what I do. I make master chefs. I make movie directors. I make symphony conductors. I make master carpenters, you know, those kinds of things. In other words, what do I mean by that? It's one thing to have a toolbox and not know how to use them or know what to do. But if you're a master carpenter or a master architect, you know you got it, you know. And then if you don't have the right tools, you know what you can substitute or you know what you can cobble together because you're not stuck, you know. I mean, in some cases, a specific tool is probably far better than not having any tool. But you know what needs to be done and you know that you can figure it out. You know you can do it. A master chef doesn't just cook a meal. Anyone in theory can cook a meal, but a master chef looks at the meal, the way they season it, the way it's prepared, the way they present it. There's so much more going on than just cooking food. A symphony conductor might be able to play one or more or all of the instruments or none of them, but they're combining the tone and the timbre and the percussion and the, you know, wind instruments and all this stuff together to create an experience for you, which is what a movie director does. They use light and sound and pictures and images and all that to create feelings in the audience so that you go on this emotional roller coaster ride in a movie. It's not just being a technician. It's not just being somebody, I got a hammer. The old saying is if all you have is a hammer, you treat everything like a nail. And so it's being smarter and wiser. And lastly, I have in my book and elsewhere, you will see me say it's dog crap or diamonds, dog crap or diamonds. And you get to choose every moment you choose. Do I want to go down into the dog crap thing or do I want to rise up into the diamonds? Do I want bad thing or negative thinking? Do I want positive results? You know, what is it? So if you're not going to do it, who's going to do it for you?
Right.
You know, and so you take the time. We're really just creatures of our conditioning, which is social conditioning, how we grew up, and creatures of our mental habits. And our mental habits determine a lot of our physical habits. So if your thinking is, as some would say, stinking, you're going to get stinking results. Now, if you try and attack it from the results side, sometimes, but far less of the times, will it work. If I don't know the first thing about cars, if I'm not a mechanic and my car breaks down, I can tinker all I want and pound on things and do things and really struggle. And I'm not going to do the right thing. But if I know cars, if I have an understanding, if I know how things work, I'll be able to better do things. So what is the first thing that people need to do? Get your mindset right so that you are positive and optimistic. And why? Because when you're optimistic and positive, you actually are releasing brain chemicals that make you feel better, make you feel healthier, make you help better decisions. When you're under stress, whether it's chronic or acute, in acute stress, you want to fight, flight, or freeze. You know, you want to run away. It releases adrenaline and cortisol and all these things so that the blood leaves your brain and goes to your heart, pumps harder, so it goes to the extremity so you can run or you can fight. So you're not the best at making decisions, But not only that, but under stress, you're actually releasing the chemicals that create disease and disorder. So the less optimistic you are, or more pessimistic, or less, more negative you are, and less positive you are, the more you're actually decreasing your efficiency as a human being. Your energy levels, your health levels, your, you know, your emotional enjoyment levels, your ability to think clearly and make good decisions. So it benefits you far more to develop positive outlook and a positive mindset, and one that says, I think I can, but not only can I, but I will. And then because I can and I will, go ahead and do it. And yet so many of the thought leaders out there, instead of saying, here, if you become it, you'll do the right things that will bring you what it is that you want so that you can have those things. A lot of these people are out there posing in front of jets and mansions and swimming pools and have their dollar signs and showing you all their cash and go, look, you can have all this if you just work really, 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 really hard and do all this stuff so that you can be important or you can feel happy. And it's really the other way around. Be happy, feel good, and you'll do the right things to bring you what it is that you want. And then you'll also enjoy those things. On the other hand, if you're stressing out to try and get those things without transforming yourself, you end up like the millionaires and billionaires who go, look at what I have, and yet I'm not satisfied.
Wow. Good stuff. Rex, I that was almost like planned, because that was an incredible way, because we're kind of winding down about from a time frame standpoint, and I know you've got lots to do. There's how they get a hold of Rex. By the book. Believe me, I've read the book. I'm back somewhere. I lost my bookmark, but I'm reading it through the second time, my friend. It is very, very good. And I've enjoyed it. Final words. It's all yours, my friend. I appreciate the loads of great information here. We could have went on for, I could tell we could have went on for like 3 hours listening to this. But final words. They're all yours.
Well, it goes back to dog crap and diamonds. You know,
if you're
in charge of your life, who is? You know, it's your responsibility. You're here on the planet. Maybe you got a million lifetimes, but it doesn't really matter. This is the one you're paying attention to, right?
Right.
So if this is the life that matters to you, make it the best life ever. It's within the capabilities of you as a human. You know, here's the thing that people don't realize. We're literally walking miracles. We have trillions of cells that are operating sequentially and simultaneously every second of the day, whether you're awake or asleep, to keep you alive, keep you breathing, keep your heart beating, keep you digesting your food, blinking your eyes, hearing stuff, processing your thoughts, driving your cars, digesting your food, eliminating, you know, all this stuff. Just a walking miracle. You have infinite resources available to you from within and without. You are infinite opportunities and infinite possibilities. And if you sell yourself short on any of that, it's to your own misfortune. You have to understand you are a beautiful, incredible, wonderful being, and you deserve the best life ever. And the only way you're going to have that, though, is if you make that happen legally, safely for yourself and other people. Win more by winning more. You know, it goes without saying. It's like, have fun. And I'll close with this. If you consider something a problem, it's a problem. You said so. It's a problem. If you consider something a blessing, it's a blessing. Right. Why? Because you said so. It's a blessing. So celebrate everything.
Love it. Rex, great stuff, my friend. I appreciate you being on. This is,
I appreciate being
amazing.
Here. Thank you.
Lastly, buy the book. Buy the book. People, seriously, you'll love the book. My friend, appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Cheers, my friend. All right. There you go, my friends. Rex Sykes. Great book. Seriously, I'll be recommending it on my weekly recommendations soon. I've read the book. You just want to read this thing over and over and over. So that is it for another day. What a great 40 minutes of outstanding conversation. I know you're going to love listening to the whole thing, conversation with Rex today. And really loved what he touched on. So let's close with this. Couple things I always like to say, three things probably, but we only get one go around in life, and that's what Rex talks about. We might get another one, but we don't know. So live it, love it, own it, right? And Wes and I talk about this a lot. We love what we do and do what we love. If you're not doing what you love and loving what you do, don't walk away and quit, but figure out a way to do it. Figure out what to do that makes you love what you're doing, or find something you do. And lastly, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.